Hello everyone, my name is Stellar and then long time no see. This is Gen Z Evil Podcast Channels. And today I'm very pleased to welcome back with another episode in the winter series with Pradeep and Daisy. They are the co-leaders of the SMU Student Energy Club. So I'm not gonna dive in a lot because I'm gonna let you guys introduce your background first and then see if there's anything we can touch on later.
Hi, yeah, of course. So for people can't see me, my name is Daisy Chan. So I am majoring in sustainable energy engineering and minoring in business. So I'm the current president of Student Energy Chapter at SFU. I'll pass on to Pradeep to introduce herself and the club.
My name is Pardeep Renata, and I am a third-year student at SFU, majoring in data science. And Student Energy is a global organization empowering the next generation of leaders who are accelerating the transition to a sustainable, equitable energy future. And the SFU Student Energy Chapter is part of this global organization. So with SFU Student Energy Chapter, students get an opportunity to work with a network of 50,000 youth in over 120 countries. And starting next year, we are trying to not only educate people about sustainability and clean energy, but we will also be heavily focusing on real world, like hands-on projects. We want to provide young people with great opportunities to participate in climate action and deliver meaningful impacts to the real world. And as for the resources and opportunities, there is an abundance of them provided by the global chapter. So, like, students will have opportunities to do guided projects, participate in the leadership fellowship program. For example, like recently from the end of November to early December, we hosted a Student Energy Summit, which is the largest student-led conference on energy alongside the UN Climate Change Conference in Dubai. So yeah, with Student Energy, you get to attend big events like that. And yeah, so basically, if you are a student and you're passionate about sustainability and clean energy, like SFU Student Energy Chapter would be the right club for you to join.
That sounds amazing. Thank you so much, Daisy and Party, for your great sharing of yourself and also for the Student Energy Club at SFU. Touch on to the Student Energy Club. I think like all your activities are very great. So because you mentioned that when students going to your club, they can join a lot of activities, not inside the club, inside SFU, but also like externally, like the global chapter and the conference in Dubai. So what do you think is like the most important for students when they choose joining like a sustainable energy club?
For me, I think there are so many benefits. Just to name a few that I think is the most important for me, and I think it can be most important to our peers. So the top one will be networking. So as Pardeep mentioned that the global chapter, we have about 50,000 young people around the world. And the second point will be learning and skill development. The student energy global chapter, you can access to educational resources, workshop, and events that can all enhance your knowledge and skills in the sustainability and in energy industry. That also lead to like professional development. So you can get exposure to industry leaders and career opportunities, also the insights to energy innovations. All this contributes to members' professional growth.
Like just like overall, like when you're joining a club, like networking and learning opportunities, like the two main factors that you can, actually aspiring or like acquiring from, like just the student leaders like you guys or like people from the outside the club that wanna partnering with your club too. It's actually take you guys a lot of effort and like dedication if you guys wanna choosing to lead a student energy club. So how do you find your passion for developing those projects? Probably inside your club or like outside your club to partner with the other to spread the awareness about sustainable energy or climate change.
As an engineering student, we already do like technical projects like in daily routine for our program. And also for me to join my program at the very first place, I wish that I could like at least like develop some positive impact to my communities and people around me. It also kind of shaped my perspective when I was attending one of the conferences. So it was called Canadian Conference on Sustainability in Engineering back in 2020. So the conference really opened my eye in terms of like the intensive measure of sustainability within the engineering field that I got introduced to. I realized how little I know about. There's so many different advanced technology out there that is where started to really develop to help with climate change. So I was really intrigued. So and one of the concepts that really fascinated me about is smart city. So smart city is essentially you're using smart technology like Internet of Things, big data, and 5G to collect information from sensors. And by using a sensor, you can right away analyze all the data, and then you can use automated process to perform real-time responses to all this data that you're collecting. By doing this, we can make everything more automated, smarter, more efficient. And usually when you see higher efficiency, that means just more sustainability.
Thank you. That's a great sharing. Like actually, I would say smart city for me, just imagine Singapore and, you know, Shanghai city or Beijing city in China would be the closest example that I have in my mind right now. And I believe that the project that you're initiating, the whole 8-month leadership fellowship program would be amazing for, you know, students who want to, you know, learn more about your project, smart city idea, like how do you, engineering students and also, you know, leaderships in the industry kind of think about that project, like how they initiate that. So yep, amazing. That's amazing sharing. And I believe, yeah, audiences would love to, you know, learn more about that.
There's a lot of misconception with smart city is that, oh, there's sensor, so there could be like privacy breaching, there could be this and that, so that I'm concerned. I know that we have been trying to take precautions in terms of like the policy, and we setting up like all the algorithm and stuff. Privacy is definitely like one of the top thing that we like the technology is trying to protect all the users. That's also one thing I have to just reduce people's concern in terms of this technology, because it is such an amazing technology, and if because all this myths we end up not really developing it, I think it's really it would be quite, I would say, unfortunate.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I feel like this, if there's something new regarding, you know, technologies and AI coming to the world, it's completely new, like not a lot of people understand how it works, and then that's why there's a lot of, you know, conflict and, you know, arguments regarding we should, you know, leverage that or not. I believe this is just a potential, like another innovation that could make our world a better place to live, because, you know, climate change or lack of non-renewable resource cap, things like that could be like a problem that we all have to deal with, explore more just for the potential of that. But yeah, moving on. I mean, like Daisy, thank you so much for, you know, solving one myth that we have, because actually, the next session that we have right now is about some facts or myths that I could found from researching that people believe or like not believing about renewable energy or the sustainable energy in general. So I would love if you guys can, you know, based on your background, your passion, your experiences, that you can solve some part of this myth if possible. So the first one I have is just very short. Renewable energy is more expensive than any other source of energy.
Yeah, so that... The answer for that is yes, but also no. It's complicated. So the first one is you have to look at the initial cost and compare with the maturity and the adoption with the technology itself. For example, the solar panels over the past decade, or like if you have to say very exactly, it's from 2009 to 2019, the cost of solar panel has witnessed a substantial reduction. So in that one decade, the cost of solar PV dropped almost 90%. So you can see how one renewable energy technology can be quite expensive, especially when it's just getting developed, because as the world is shifting towards more sustainability, as we noticing that how much we need to spend on climate change adaptation mitigation. So it was actually estimated by the United Nations that by 2060, our global collective expenses to going towards climate change, like up to $600 billion. So it is a huge loss. If we don't tackle the climate crisis now, we will suffer even worse in the future. The last one is you want to look at your investment in renewable energy in a longer term investment perspective if you invest into renewable energy. For example, geothermal. So geothermal power plants are known as the cost, the upfront cost is relatively high, but they can actually offer very competitive long-term cost saving. A study has shown that over like a 30-year period, the levelized cost of electricity for geothermal power can be competitive with or even lower than the conventional fossil fuel sources.
Yeah, that's amazing. I feel like the answer you just gave very comprehensive, but this should not be no at all. Like, yeah, it's a yes and no. Like the short term, it could be very expensive, but the long term could be, you know, considering long term advantage that we could receive from renewable energy, I would say is a worthwhile. So moving on to the second things that we consider facts or myth. Renewable energy cannot deliver at night when there's no wind.
Yeah, so this would be a myth. It is true, though, that the ability of renewable energy sources like wind and solar to generate electricity can be affected by the environmental conditions. What I mean by that is, for example, like wind turbines, they require wind to produce electricity, and solar panels, they require sunlight to generate power. And when there's no wind or sunlight, the generation of power will be affected. However, there have been many advancements in technology. Like, for example, there are batteries that allow us to store excess energy that has been generated during periods of like high winds or sunlight, so that that excess energy can be used later when conditions are not optimal. So like to answer the question, with technological advancements, renewable energy can deliver at night when there is no wind.
So moving on to another one, wind and solar power, they are the two of the cleanest energy we have on the earth.
The sentence like the wind and solar power are two of the cleanest energy we have on the earth, that would be a fact. Wind and solar power, they are considered among the cleanest sources of energy that are available today due to various reasons. Like, first of all, wind and solar power, they do not emit any greenhouse gas emissions into the atmosphere, like unlike traditional sources of energy like fossil fuels that release carbon dioxide, nitrogen oxides, and like other pollutants when they're burned for energy. Secondly, wind and solar power, like they don't deplete over time like finite fossil fuel reserves, so like as long as there is sun and wind, we can continue generating power. Finally, compared to fossil fuel extraction and combustion, the environmental impact of wind and solar power is relatively low. While there are environmental considerations in the manufacturing, installation, and disposal of renewable energy infrastructure, such as like the solar panels and the wind turbines, their operational phase has minimal impact on the environment. So like because of like all these reasons, like no, like they don't emit any greenhouse emissions, they're not finite, the traditional fossil fuel reserves, and they have like minimal impact on on the environment. Like when we use wind or solar power to generate electricity or like power, because of all these reasons, it is like one of the two cleanest energies that we have on earth.
Even though it's expensive for the front cost, I mean, that's, you know, it's really great. It's like very expensive for the front cost, you know, to set up the whole technology, advanced technology for those kind of cleanest power. But then if we consider for, again, Daisy mentioned that too, that we consider for the long-term advantages, I think it's going to be, you know, worth that compared to traditional fuel, fossil fuels. So yeah, I mean, like, thank you so much for you guys sharing. Like, I mean, you guys talked a lot about, you know, energy, sustainable energy in general. You know, you already solved some myth of fact, and, you know, consider introducing also SUC and energy chapter, and also the global chapter, and what type of conference that you guys can join in. There could be like three conclusions of what SU students or, you know, student going to SFU that they consider joining your club, what can they receive at, you know, like benefit activities again?
Oh, like with SFU student energy chapter or like club, there are like many programs and like conferences that like available for students to attend. So first we have like the Student Energy Guided Projects and Entrepreneurs Program, which basically offers hands-on training and like funding and resources to empower youth in developing and managing clean energy projects. So like through this program, like you can gain skills and knowledge and like in a supportive environment to launch your like community-based clean energy initiatives. And like this program like not only enables like tangible projects, but also provides a global cohort of youth with valuable early career experiences, basically like fostering a lifelong commitment to problem solving and entrepreneurship. Other than that, we also have the Student Energy Fellowship Program, which is designed for young people who are interested in and are passionate about energy transition and can commit to like completing the student energy curriculum over the course of 8 months. So from March 2024 to October 2024. And lastly, we also have the Career Training Program, which basically equips youth with the technical, dynamic, and durable skills that are necessary for them to land an internship or entry-level role in the energy sector. And the program develops project management, data analytics, interdisciplinary teamwork, and leadership through hands-on learning experiences. So apart from all these programs, again, there are also like many conferences and events throughout the year, like the Student Energy Symposium, which is hosted in Vancouver. It was hosted this year, like in September. And there's also the Student Energy Summit. It was also hosted in Abu Dhabi this year. And it's one of the largest student-led clean energy conference. And it was like hosted alongside the UN Climate Change Conference, again, which was hosted in Abu Dhabi this year as well.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, like, you guys have a lot of activities, definitely great activities going on in the Student Energy Club.
Within SFU chapter, we're also the GOT2 conference held Abu Dhabi by the United Nations. When I was there, I managed to network with people from like Palau and people from Tanzania. I was able to actually get to talk to them and then get to know about what is their struggle. And I also kind of relate to like the struggle we have. We all know like countries like Palau, they really rely on like the tourist industry. So he said like all the hotels, they will have their own backup diesel generator because the local grid is just not as reliable. There's also projects that we can do to help them to improve their resilience in their utility and like energy providing network. So I propose a project to them is to collaborate the Student Energy Global Chapter. So whoever's in the global chapter can work with the local post-secondary students to come up with some innovative ideas, also very community-oriented projects to help them to adapt to climate change. So that is one project that we are currently developing. We actually are going to have a meeting with our global chapter coordinator later today to discuss. Also, I talk about that. I also met with delegates from Tanzania. So we're also looking into opportunities to help with people from Tanzania. And while we're working on things more like global scale, like helping like other nations that they desperately need help currently, we're also trying to link you know, because when we're solving some problem, there will be similar problem domestically. And another thing that I want to mention is about the Greenlink Smart City Conference. So because in the past 1 or 2 months, I've been, so many people reach out to me, like I have people from UBC reach out to me, I have people from Halifax, and even like people also just like within SFU, I have someone from the MBA program to come and ask me, like there are people who are interested about smart city, done similar projects and would like to collaborate. And I really see a need, like we wish to bring it back and launch like a larger scale conference, because this time we can finally do it in person. Back in 2021, that we could only host it online through like the webinars format. If you join SFU chapter, you can actually get to work on some really exciting projects.
If you guys can, you know, give us some spoiler of, you know, like the upcoming day of the application round, because I feel like after this episode, like people knowing about your program, they would love to know about the information if they can apply and then when they can apply.
Yeah, we're like hiring for like several positions, so you can like go to SCP Student Energy Instagram page where you'll find a link that will direct you to like a Linktree page where like you can like read all the roles and the descriptions that we're hiring for, and there's also like an application form that you can fill out and apply for the role that you're interested in.
That's amazing. So like it's currently open for all students, you know, especially in engineering or data science, to apply to
Synergy. It's open for students from any background.
And okay.
So all you need is like to be like passionate about student energy, sustainable energy, clean energy. And yeah, because like personally, I didn't have any like background, you know, like in sustainable energy or anything, like until like I met Daisy in one of my courses, and she told me about Synergy, and I was like, definitely, yeah, I do want to join, because like I always wanted to do something for the environment, and I think this platform provides me like with several opportunities to do so.
Yes, amazing sharing, podcast, Pradeep and Daisy. So I want to conclude this podcast right now. So just thank you for your time. And then I would love to see you guys again in another sections with podcast, IGZFU podcast channel.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So I also wish the audiences that are listening to this episode a lot of, you know, good luck to your finals, because the time that we are doing this podcast is actually our final seasons at SFU in BC, Canada. So not sure if you guys are having final right now, but you guys have that. Best of luck for that one. Happy holidays. A lot of things going on to Pradeep and Daisy too. So yeah, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you in another episode next week.